Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
For us here this morning, Lord, as we come to your word, we want to hear from you directly. Lord, speak to our hearts and our minds. Direct us. May we leave here this morning gaining some insight about this God that we love. And some of us maybe this morning coming and hearing about you for the first time, Lord, direct our hearts to you. Amen. Amen. Well, in case you don't know, we are going through Ruth. Here's the incredible thing about Ruth is that you can read through Ruth in one sitting. In fact, we did that last Sunday, if you were with us. And we've been traveling through Ruth, so it's four chapters. You could tell someone, hey, I've read an entire book of the Bible, right? That's pretty cool. And maybe you haven't had any experience with the Bible, but you could read through Ruth. And here's one thing I'll tell you. As you read it, you will enjoy it. It's an enjoyable book of the Bible that you will love. So if you're just new into the Bible, get through Ruth, four chapters, one sitting. We're going to move on to chapter 2 here this morning. But before we do that, for those of you who weren't with us last week, or maybe some of you who forgot, I'm going to recap chapter 1 very quickly for you. In chapter 1, Naomi is this woman. She's an Israelite. She's from, she's a Jew. And she moves because of a famine to Moab, which is a rival, right, neighbor, a different land than the Jews were living in. And she moves there with her husband and two sons. She's there about 10 years, and tragedy strikes the home. Do you remember what the tragedy was? Her husband passes away, and her two sons pass away. And she's left with nothing. Except for these two girls, these two young women who had married her sons. One of them was named Orpah, and the other one was named Ruth. Good. That's been a struggle this morning. Some people are like, I don't remember. Ruth, right? It's Ruth. So Ruth is with her. Now, these two ladies, they're her daughters-in-law, but the cool thing about it is they're both like, we'll stay with you, Naomi. We'll stay by your side. But Naomi says, listen, here's the thing. We're in your land. They're both Moabite women, right? Ruth is Jewish. They're Moabites. She says, we're here in your homeland. You can go back to your parents and you can get remarried again and you can start life all over again. Don't stay with me. Go back. Go back to your family. Well, Orpah does. Orpah goes back to her family and probably conceivably starts life all over again. But here's this lady, Ruth, who we're going to love, right? Ruth stays by her mother-in-law, and she says, I am not going to leave you, right? Tragedy has struck us, and I will walk beside you. In fact, I will return to Israel with you. I will return to Bethlehem with you. When you go back, Naomi, to your home, I will go back with you. Now, that's great, but when we end chapter 1, there's such tragedy and loss, and I think Naomi says something as she enters back into her land again. What she tells her people, I think, typifies the darkness and the tragedy and the loss of chapter 1. This is what Naomi says, and this is in chapter 1. Here's what she says. I went away full. In other words, I left Israel full, Naomi says, and the Lord has brought me back empty. As she comes back into the land of Israel, I'm emptied. I lost my husband. I lost my two sons. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has afflicted me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? There's such darkness and tragedy, and I would say that maybe this morning some of you are in this place. Maybe some of you walked away from the Lord, and maybe just now coming back to the Lord again, coming back to church. Or maybe some of you have been walking with the Lord for a long time, but calamity has just hit, and you might say the same thing. Why call me Jeff, right? Why call me when the Lord has afflicted me so much? And I feel like I've been calling out to him, but he doesn't answer, and he doesn't hear me. And why would God do this to me? I was faithful. I was full as I left his land, and now I am empty. There is darkness in chapter 1, but I will tell you, immediately in chapter 2, God breaks open the door just a little bit, and a beam of light comes shining through. So would you look at with me in chapter 2, verse 1 of Ruth. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. Here's what it says. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Now, Elimelech was Naomi's husband who passed away. And as she enters back into the land, we hear, see in chapter 2, there's this guy, right? There's this guy, and his name is Boaz, which means man of strength, right? Man of strength. In him is strength. And we find this out, that he's a wealthy man. And that name, that word wealthy, could mean like man of valor or honor. Or it could mean a man who's gone to war, who's fought battles, right? All we know, and it's just for a brief moment, is the writer of Ruth wants us to know there's a little bit of hope here, right? Who's this guy, Boaz? And what's his story? And what's he all about? But we have to wait on that because verse 2, we move quickly into this information that we need to know about Ruth. At this point, what we know about Ruth is that she was willing to leave Moab, her hometown, to come with Naomi, her mother-in-law, to Naomi's hometown. That's what we know. And so we'll look at what we find out about Ruth in verse 2. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, Naomi says to Ruth, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come upon the part of the field that belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. This morning, quickly, let me give you five things that you and I need to know about Ruth. Five things that are going to ingratiate our hearts towards this woman and who she is. The first of those, if you're a note taker, I'd write this down so you know we're doing five, and this is number one, so you know when we get to five, we'll be like, oh, we're moving on. So number one, right? She was brave. Ruth was brave. Not only had she left her land to go to a foreign land, but she was going to go work out in their fields of people that were not her people, right? And probably wouldn't even, maybe necessarily have even liked her. She's out taking food that they were gleaning, right? And she's not even from their land. She was a Moabite. Israelites and Moabites didn't get along very well. And here she is bravely going out saying, I've got to provide for this family. I'm going to go glean. So she enters out into the fields as a Moabite amongst Israelites. The other thing, and we'll see this later on in the chapter, is that she's a young woman, and young women in the fields with men were vulnerable, right? There were situations that you wouldn't want to put your daughters in as they went out into the fields. And we'll see that later on here. So Ruth was brave to go say, I will go take care of this. I will enter out as a Moabite and as a young woman into these fields. So the first thing we learn about Ruth in this situation is that she was brave. The second thing that we learn about Ruth is that she is honorable. Ruth is honorable. Listen, I need to leave you today. I need to go out into the field so I can provide for you, Naomi, and I can provide for me. I need to go out and work. And this would have been, listen, this is an honorable thing that she's doing, right? She could have gone back home at any moment. I'm going to leave you. It looks like you're good now. We're here. I'm going to go back home. But she doesn't. She says, I will go out and I will provide for this family. Now, such a cool thing that God did back in this day. He would provide, if you owned a field, you were not to touch the corners of that field. In other words, you were supposed to allow for the poor to come into your fields and glean, not just take big bunches of wheat, but to glean off the field, the leftovers, so to speak. In fact, in Leviticus 19, 9 through 10, I will read that for you. You don't need to turn there. Here's what it says. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of the field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of the harvest. In other words, leave those there. That's what I'm providing for the poor, that they could come in and provide. For Ruth is doing this for Naomi. She's going out into the field. She's working because she is an honorable woman. The third thing, first of all, she's brave. She's honorable. And the third thing is Naomi is trusting in God. Let me develop that for you a little bit because you're like, well, how is she? What's the trusting in God aspect of it? Well, something happened in Ruth. Here's why I know this. Something happened in Ruth when she met Naomi and her husband and her and then Ruth's husband. Something happened that allowed her heart to say, there's something about you. There's something different. So much so that she would stay with Naomi to leave her homeland to go with her to Israel. There was something about Naomi. But it wasn't just about Naomi. This was about a relationship that Ruth had developed with Yahweh, the living God, while she was in Moab. See, Ruth comes from a land where there's lots of gods, and some of them we find in scriptures were pretty detestable gods. And there was something that Ruth found in Naomi's God, Yahweh, the one true living God, that she fell in love with. Here's how we know this. Back in chapter 1, verse 15, Orpah, one of the sisters, Naomi says this of Orpah, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods," right? To which Ruth replies, listen to what Ruth's response is, and you'll see that she truly loves the Lord, that she knows the Lord. Ruth replies in verse 16, "Your people, Israel, shall be my people, and listen, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me and you," Ruth says to her mother-in-law. Powerful, right? I grew up with all these gods, multiple gods, but listen, now my God is your God. If we're going to Israel together, I'm going to trust that God's going to provide for you and me. And I will be a part of that process. I will go into the fields and I will trust that God will provide for us. And I will go and he will protect us. Ruth is trusting in the Lord that he will do something in this circumstance. Ruth is brave. She's honorable. She's trusting in God. And she's a hard worker, right? Where was she working? In the fields, right? This is not an easy task. Right? It's pretty thankless, in fact. I have a picture here for you. Now, I don't know if these are exactly the fields, but these are fields of some sort. Here they are. That's field. Now, I'm under the realization that we're Southern Californians, many of us, and maybe some of us have never seen wheat fields before, right? Because that was me. Like, I don't know where would I have ever seen wheat fields, right? So here's some wheat fields. Just to get you in the context of it. Secondly, this is kind of what was going on in the setting, right? There were men would come out and they would chop down. Some of you are like, what is this all about, right? I had people correct me throughout this, the whole, I'm Southern California. What do I know about wheat and cutting down wheat? But I do know this, the men would be out cutting down the wheat. And the women would come by after the wheat was cut down and they would put them in bunches, right? I'm guessing they didn't put duct tape around it like they have in this picture. They didn't have duct tape back then. But the women would come through and they would bundle them up. But listen, Ruth hasn't even entered the picture yet. Men cutting down, women bunching together. But then the poor people would come through and just glean whatever the little leftover extras were that weren't in the sheaves or in the bunches of grain. Now, they weren't even to go near those bunches of grain because that was stuff that the farmer had set aside, the men had set aside for the field owner. So you were not even to walk amongst those things. So they're just getting this, the little tiny leftovers. Here's what they were going for. If you take a look at this, they were looking for this, these stalks of wheat. And this is what they would turn it into. Oh, here's, they would bang it, right? So in order to get, they'd get the long stalks of wheat. In order to get the little tiny seeds, which look like this, right? In order to get that, they would have to bang that wheat against something. And as they banged it, the little pieces of wheat, the little seeds, the grains, would fall off onto a blanket or whatever. And then they would bundle that up and take it away. And we'll talk about where they took it next week. But the ladies, they're working to get the grain off, and we'll see Ruth do that here a little bit in our chapter. All that to say is that's hard work. It wasn't easy to get up in the morning and to go and say, listen, I'm going to glean in the fields. Like, I'm not going to get a ton out of this. They're just going to get some scraps. It'd be a little bit like if you were to say, I'm going to get my meals today through recycling cans. I'm going to go find places where there are people hanging out. I'm going to get cans. I'm going to put them in bags. And then I'm going to go recycle them. And that's how I'm going to provide for my family today. A little bit like that. Hard work. Hard work. And so we know about Ruth that she was hard working, brave, honorable, trusting in God. Do you think for a moment that Ruth ever felt like, I could just go home? I could just leave all this. I could stop working in the fields and I could just go home and start my family all over again. I could find a new husband. I could live with my mom and dad until that moment. I would be provided for. And she doesn't, because she's honorable to her mother-in-law. She loves the Lord. She's trusting. She doesn't want to go back to the land with all those other gods. And because of that, she's in our fifth one, right? She's positioned. She's positioned. Let me explain. Ruth, because she was brave and honorable and trusting in the Lord and hardworking, was positioned by God to glorify God and to receive glory by God. She was positioned because she didn't go back to Moab. She doesn't quit. She just keeps moving forward. She was perfectly in position to receive from the Lord. Listen to what the Bible says in our text. It says, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. She happened, air quotes, right? Just so happened. And you and I, we know what happened mean. We kind of know where she's going in the direction of the story and where it's headed. But she didn't. She didn't know anything that was about ready to happen. She just was doing what she believed God had called her to do. Her life would be forever changed in that field. Notice that God didn't put big lights over the field to say, bzz, 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 come here, come here. He didn't put angels over the field saying, Ruth, come over here. There was no audible voice saying warmer, 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 colder, 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 warmer, warmer. Like he wasn't guiding her. She was just kind of going and doing what she was called to do. And this invisible hand of God is moving her to the place where he would be glorified and she would be blessed. What if we, in those seasons of our life, purposed to be like Ruth? When we're in those situations, we're like, God, I don't see you. I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go. God, this season is of tragedy and of loss. But what if we were to be like Ruth in these moments? Honorable. I'm going to be honorable in the situation that you've put me in. I'm going to be brave because it's hard to wake up every morning and move forward. I'm going to be brave, God, and face the day with you. I'm going to be trusting God that this is not for naught, that the things that have happened in my life, they're just nope, whatever. I guess it's happenstance. No. I'm going to trust God that you're going to move me in it. I'm going to work hard in the endeavors that you've put me in because I believe all those things have positioned me, like you positioned Ruth, to be right where you want me to be, that you would utilize me, that you would be glorified through my story, and that you would bless me through that as well. Well, now that we've learned about Ruth, let's look at Boaz, right? This guy that we got introduced at the beginning of the chapter, and we know he was a man of strength, right? And that he was a wealthy man. So let's look in more about what we learn about Boaz in verse 4. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servants, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. You see, she's a hard worker. From morning until now, even though, Boaz, she took a little bit of a rest, but she's been working hard out in the field to provide. Now, let me just say, Boaz is a good-looking man, right? Now, I don't physically know what he looks like, but from what we just read, he is a good-looking man. Number one, he's godly, right? He's a godly man. Well, how could you know that just from the appearance of like, hey, well, bless the Lord, bless you all, right? Well, I'd ask you, how many of you have had bosses in your life who've walked into the office and to the whole entire office said, "The Lord bless you"? How many of you guys have had that? Anybody? I do. I have one. My boss does that back there. He says, "The Lord bless you." But Boaz doesn't have to start the day off with that, but he does. He gets out into the fields with his people, and he says, he just prays a blessing over them. "The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you, Boaz." We know he's a wealthy man from verse 1, right? Wealthy man, but he also, we know he owns fields. We see that he's a caring man. He knows his people, right? He's out with his people. So much so that he recognizes one that does not belong, one that's not like the others. He notices Ruth. Now, we don't know why he notices her. Maybe because she was a Moabite. Maybe because he knew the field so well that he'd never seen this woman before. Maybe she was a hottie. I don't know. Could be. She could be super attractive. And he's like, hey, who's this young woman, right? Or had he heard her story? I mean, had he heard what had gone on? We don't know. But we do know as he takes that next step to ask and say, hey, who is this lady? And then we find out about Ruth that her story had preceded her. She was a notable woman. People knew about her. This guy who was a reaper in the field knew about Ruth so much so that he could share the story. This is that young Moabite lady who came back with Naomi. People knew the story had spread because why? She was brave. She was honorable. She was trusting in God, even though she was from a foreign land. She was notable and noteworthy. So Boaz, how does he respond to her? I want you to see this. And you're going to fall more in love. He becomes even hunkier now. He becomes even more attractive now. Look what he says in verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." If Boaz was attractive before, he's even more attractive now. Listen, three things. He provides for her. He says, don't go to another field. Don't go anywhere else. Stay in my field. Stay here in my field. And if you get confused, follow my young women around. Just follow them. Stay with them. Just keep coming back to my field, right? You kind of see there's an attraction going on. Come to my field. I will provide for you. He does a second thing, which I think is even more powerful. He protects her. From who? Haven't I not told my young men not to touch you? You do not lay a hand on Ruth, right? Why? Because the practice of that day, young women were not safe in those fields. But what does he give her? He gives her every day, you can come back to my fields and there will be protection. You can wake up each morning knowing that you go to work safe. Whew. That would have been powerful for a young woman back in that day. That I can go and provide for my family, I can provide for Naomi and not have to worry about being taken advantage of. Powerful protection. The third thing he says, listen, you have favor with me, right? You can come and drink from this water that my young men will draw. See, people who gleaned in the fields, they didn't have that ability. They would have to go find from some other source water because it was hot and they were thirsty and they were working and they would have to put their stuff down and go find water somewhere and then come back and start working again. But what he says to her is, listen, my young men will draw water every day and it'll be right here and you can come have at it and then just go back to work. You don't have to lose rations because you're out looking for water. You can just keep coming to here. He gave her favor. It's hard not to see at this moment that this man is becoming a sort of savior type for Ruth, right? A foreigner, someone who's on the down and outs, and this man comes in and says, listen, I will provide, I will protect, and I will give you favor. And we begin to kind of have our eyes open to the God account. The gospel moment here. The idea that there was being grace being given to her. So listen to what verse says in verse 10. Look at Ruth's response when she hears this news from Boaz. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? I'm not one of your people. I don't deserve this. I've done nothing to earn your attention. I'm not even from your land. You could just as soon kick me out. What have I done?" And I think this is the gospel moment. Do you notice what she says? What have I done to find favor? Unmerited, undeserved favor. That's gospel grace that he is extending to her. The story didn't have to go like that, but it does because of the type of man Boaz is. And the response is the same response that we have towards the good news of a God who loves us, who sends his son to die on the cross for us, that we could spend eternity with him. And in this life, have the knowledge and understanding that we are safe with him, that we are protected with him, that he provides for us, that we have favor with him. That draws us to our knees. We fall face down before him. That's gospel grace. And it's poked up right here so many thousand years before Jesus comes through the man of Boaz. Why have I found favor in your eyes? And listen to what Boaz's response to Ruth is. Here's why. Because you're beautiful, right? He essentially says, you're radiating beauty. Again, we don't know what she looked like, but her inner person is so gorgeous, so beautiful. This is what Boaz says. And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. Ruth, you've left so much. I've heard about this. I know about this. And now Boaz is going to say, let me show you what my God would do for you. Let me show you what Yahweh would do for you through me. This is what he says in verse 12. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Because you did what you did, Ruth, because you trusted in God, because you're brave, because you're honorable, because you're hardworking, and because I believe God has positioned you for this, Ruth, I'm going to be God's wing that protects you, that I want to look after you like a little chick would come under the hen, the mother hen, for protection in times of danger. I want to be that for you. You have forfeited security and familiarity and your family to come here to provide, to care for in a foreign land. Now let me demonstrate God's heart for you, under whose wings you have come for refuge. I love that. So good. Then he takes it an entirely new step and he blesses her even more than he'd already blessed her before. Look what he says in verse 13. Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me. Thank you. And you have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, listen, come to my table. Come to my table. Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her. And she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves where they were not supposed to go, right? The people who were gleaning were not supposed to go among the sheaves, but here's favor. You can. And do not reproach her. Also, let grain from bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her. Listen, she's given a special seat at the table. Sound like anything else, right? She's invited kind of into the family of workers. You're invited into the family of God. Something that we were foreigners and we didn't deserve it. We were on the down and out. God says, come to my table. That's exactly what Boaz is saying. He says, listen, you're a gleaner, you're poor, they don't get to do it, but you're special in my sight, right? You've done some great, I want to come to my table, take advantage. Do you see what he says here? The Bible says is that she ate until she was satisfied. How often would people in that day and age get to eat until they were satisfied? When was the last time, do you think, Ruth, who's out gleaning, just trying to make it, got to eat until she was satisfied? It had probably been a while. Do you see what she does, though? Takes a little bit and it takes it for later, right? She ate so much and was so satisfied that she's like, I'll take some of this for later. What an awesome blessing to sit at the table of the master, right, of Boaz, and what a benefit. And he says, listen, as you're gleaning, just let some fall to the ground for her. Let her go amongst the sheaves. And just make sure she leaves with a lot, right? Bless her socks off. Look at verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned. Do you remember the beating out was on the drums, those ladies that were hitting, and the wheat is falling out, and then they're collecting the wheat, right? And they're leaving the stalks behind. She beat out, and it was about an ephah of barley, which is about 30 or 40 pounds, right? She's got like 30 or 40 pounds she's coming home with. No one else is gleaning that much, but she had been blessed. Right? They're like leaving stuff behind for her. He's making sure she leaves with a lot. She leaves with about 30 or 40 pounds of wheat, about 2 weeks' provision. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. That was so cool. That moment is so cool because, listen, do you think there was any temptation as she had worked into the evening, as she's walking home, to be like, oh, I could just eat this, right? I could totally eat it. And I need it. I'm so hungry. But what does she do? She saves some for Naomi, right? Why? Because she's honorable. She's an honorable, hardworking, trusting in God woman. So she gives some to her mother-in-law. Listen to what, look at verse 19. And her mother-in-law said to her, like this, where have you gleaned today, right? That was exactly how she said it. Where have you gleaned today? You got a bag there, woman, right? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. Blessed be that person. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. Boom, right? Naomi falls to the ground and Ruth picks her up. Right? And this is what Naomi says. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours. And then she gets even deeper and she says, one of our close relatives. And we'll talk about what a close relative meant. It was a big deal, kinsman redeemer. We'll talk about that next week in chapter 3. But for now, just know God's hand was at work, right? She happened upon this particular field. And at this point, all Ruth knows is that there was this really nice guy, really, really nice guy, right? And he took care of me today. And he's invited me to come back and I can keep gleaning. And I got a lot of wheat. It seems he showed favor to me. It's a really good day. But she doesn't know anything about this close relative thing that Naomi just unveiled to her. And now Ruth is thinking, whoa, here's a man that could do something about our poverty. Here's a man that could take care of us, who could care for us, who could provide for us, who could protect us on a bigger scale. That's what she knows. Now think about this. Think about Naomi, where we catch her in chapter 1, the end of chapter 1. She says, I am empty. I left full from Israel, and I'm coming back empty. I've lost my husband. I've lost my sons. Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, right? The Lord has afflicted me. That's chapter 1, right? And there's darkness. But in the darkness of chapter 1, the light of chapter 2 comes shining through when she starts to realize, oh, wait a minute, maybe God hasn't left us, right? The fact that you were gleaning today, that you went out at all, that you were brave and did that, and the fact that you've come back and you just happen to be in the field of Boaz, a man who could do something about turning the tide of our situation. Maybe, just maybe, God is watching over us. Maybe he does care about us. Maybe he hasn't left us. There's hope in Naomi now where there was no hope before. Look at verse 21. Ruth the Moabite has said, he also said to me, you shall stay close by my young women until they have finished all my harvest. In other words, you can keep coming back every day until the harvest is emptied. Verse 22, and Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field. In other words, yeah, keep going back to that field. Don't go to another field. Verse 23, so she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. You can keep coming back. And there's this relationship that is so beautiful that is building and developing. And so I would say with this in closing, this is a love story. It's a great love story about a woman who was on the down and out from a different land and a man who came through, and a good looking man, right? With all the great qualities that we want in our men, right? Protector, provider, honorable, showing favor, right? He's all those things. Wealthy. Okay, well, maybe not. It doesn't matter, right? But if we're single and we're looking for someone, that wouldn't be so bad. Anyways, it's got this great love story, and she's in need, and he sees it, and he doesn't have to do anything about it, but he does because he's an honorable, godly man. It's such a great love story. But, and we'll look, and I'll just tell you, it gets even better, right? The love story gets better, if you know what I mean, in chapter 3. And that's next week, so come back, and you gotta hear that. But here's the thing. It's not just a love story. It's even bigger than that. It speaks directly to the heart of those people, you and I, when we walk through those challenging seasons, when we wonder, God, where are you at in all of this? I don't see you. There's no big bright light saying, go here. There's no angels or audible voices saying, move this direction. Or, Jeff, I'm with you. I know you're struggling. There's none of that. So, Ruth speaks directly to us. Naomi's story speaks directly to us that we just keep walking with him, and at some point that light breaks through. The Boaz comes through. Maybe it's not a guy, but maybe it's a job. Maybe it's not a person necessarily even, but maybe it's that we open the Word of God that morning and God speaks directly to our circumstance or our situation. God is gracious unto us. We've all been there. We've all been in those moments where we're like, God, where are you at, and what are you doing, and how could you, and I don't understand. And this story, this account says that God never leaves us or forsakes us. His hand is still with us, even at times when we're wondering, God, where are you at? He is there, and he is present. And you and I, if you've walked with the Lord for any amount of time, and maybe this is the first time you're hearing about this amazing God who loves you deeply, we live for the moments, the Boaz moments, where he breaks through and we're like, oh, yes, okay, I'm okay. Even amidst the circumstance and the challenges, God, you're speaking to me, I'm okay. I can keep walking. Amen? Let's pray. God, I would just lift up refuge this morning, this weekend services, as we talk about this idea of a God who loves us that could be so foreign to someone, or a God who is with us that could be so foreign to someone. And yet it's a reality as we read through Scripture, and in particular this account in Ruth, how you were just there with her each step of the way, and with Naomi, even in her sadness and her loss and in her grief, God, you spoke to them. You brought hope of a better future. And Lord, I pray that this morning, if there's anyone who's questioning whether or not you are a good God, Lord, that we would be able to turn that over to you and look at your word, which we believe wholeheartedly, and say, God, you are a good God. And even though I don't see it, even though I'm struggling right now, God, I'm going to walk out in bravery and in being honorable and being hardworking and trusting in you. And I'm going to say, God, that you that will bring better days, that you will break through the darkness, and you will demonstrate light in my life. And so, Lord, I pray for that this morning, that you would use this love story, this account, Lord, to bring that hope into us. Amen. If you're not in one of these seasons, eventually, right, we all enter into one of these seasons where we're asking God, where are you at and what are you doing? And you may not be there this morning. So if you're not there this morning, then you need to find those people in your life, because I guarantee if I asked you, do you know someone who is in that season of darkness and despair this morning, you would say, yes, I know someone. Would you call them and be a light, be a Boaz to them? Like, maybe they're feeling like, I'm a foreigner. I don't know where God is. I don't know what's going on. But you can speak to them. Would you have coffee with them this week? Would you just be an encouragement to them this week? You can be that for someone else. But I would also encourage you, if you're in that place, there's no better place than to seek the Lord this week, to go after him, to go hard after him this week, to say, God, I'm going to wake up in the mornings and I'm going to seek your face, because I believe that you're there. And I believe that there will be a light that you will open to me that will give me encouragement, hope, and strength. Can we do that? And you guys will have an amazing, incredible week of being lights to people.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.